The science of marine conservation is often at odds with political, social, and economic pressures. Over the past few days, a group of 125 participants from 18 universities in 15 countries have been gathering in Honolulu. Their goal is to create a comprehensive strategy for countering the human challenges of large-scale marine protected areas. One of the think tank organizers is Alan Friedlander. He's chief scientist of the National Geographic Pristine Seas Program and the director of the UH Fisheries Ecology Research Lab. Before he heads off to the last day of the conference, he's in our studio with a progress report. Good morning, Alan. Thank you for being here.
Aloha, Bethann. Thanks for having me.
It's a tough thing when you look at the world's oceans and see so little of them protected compared to the amount of land that we protect. What's the ratio?
On land, it's more like 10 to 15%, and really we're talking about less than 2% of the ocean being really substantially protected from, you know, human interactions.
What seems to frustrate that part of it the most when you're trying to protect the oceans? And we think we hear a lot about ocean conservation, particularly in Hawaii, but then hearing you say something that stunning, what's the biggest problem?
Public awareness for a lot of things are just, you know, we're disconnected from the ocean. We shouldn't be so in Hawaii. Most of Hawaii is water. We need it for food security, recreation, commerce. It creates half the oxygen on the planet. You know, we really rely on the ocean, yet overfishing, climate change, land-based pollution, shoreline development, it's death by a thousand cuts. So we don't really see it directly, but the ocean's being impacted and we need it so much. But yet people have a hard time rationalizing. But we're trying to go back to what people really worked on in the past, which was local management of resources, and then trying to expand that out to a large global scale to have meaningful conservation.
What I hear you say, though, is that there may be a thousand cuts, but they all come down to human activity.
That's right. I mean, the oceans take very good care of themselves without us. What we really need to manage is people, and that's the point of this workshop. It's pretty inspiring. We have people from throughout the Pacific, French Polynesia, New Caledonia, Cook Islands, Palau, and all these people have a history of long marine conservation, but now we're trying to bring it into the 21st century in large-scale conservation. So having all these people together is incredibly inspiring, and trading ideas, knowledge exchanges, and we're kind of all learning from each other because the concept of large-scale marine protection is relatively new. Other than the Great Barrier Reef, Papanaumokuakea was originally created in 2000, and it's one of the older ones. So a lot of these places are just coming online now, so it's a real whole gradient of from places just being designated to places that have been designated for 15 years. So we're all learning from each other's experiences.
15 years is not a very long time, as you mentioned, especially with so little of the ocean being protected. As you have been working this week, so far at least, what do you find as being some of the common elements that have been emerging, especially for areas that we may not even realize are more threatened than others?
One of the main things is engaging people from the very beginning of the process. People are the problem, but they're also the solution. And so local community efforts are bubbling up all over the place, including Hawaii, and they really need to be nurtured. But it's an issue of scale. There's, you know, there's external powers coming into play, deep sea ocean mining, large scale commercial fishing, all these things impinge on the ocean, and they all affect people in different ways. And so trying to figure out what's the right match to have people respond to these issues, because people are ultimately going to be the solution to this problem as well.
Are you looking at this as any sort of, you know, run-up to the World Conservation Congress later on this year?
Exactly. This is a really good venue for that. Hawaii's been a leader in large-scale marine conservation with the creation of Papanaumokuakea, and the fact that the World Conservation Congress is going to be in Hawaii in September. President Obama will be here, lots of heads of state, important decision makers, and it's really the premier venue for moving the United Nations and the world forward in conservation in general, but we really want to emphasize marine conservation and ocean conservation because it's in Hawaii. I'm part of the International Union for Conservation for Nature Task Force on large-scale marine protected areas, and we'll be presenting the findings from this workshop at the World Conservation Congress. So we're pretty excited about having that public forum and highlighting Hawaii's progress in this compared to other places around the world.
Talking about other places around the world, Are there places that we don't really think about as being particularly challenged that we should know more about, particularly as we are in Hawaii?
Such as?
Well, I was thinking, you know, Cook Islands, other places where we don't really talk a lot about, even though we're in Hawaii and we think that we are reasonably plugged into the fact that we're an island community, and yet other island communities, and we talk about what's been happening in, you know, Micronesia, but how do we bring that into a greater and more, you know, sort of comprehensive strategy that networks all of these people that you are dealing with this week?
Right. So there's something called the Big Ocean. It's a network of large-scale marine protected areas, users, practitioners, managers. It's approximately 15 organizations now, but it's growing quickly. And it's a learning exchange, and we don't know a lot about a lot of these places, but the Pacific's connected. All these islands and all the people in the Pacific are connected by the ocean. And long before European contact, there was voyaging alliances that took place. Raiatea in the Society Islands was an important hub where people would meet in the past. And Hawaii's tending to be that now with the Polynesian Voyaging Society and so forth. And, you know, therefore, this workshop is kind of a reinvention of past practices where there's knowledge exchanges, agreements. So we're all learning from each other. The Pacific's huge. You know, it's half the planet almost. And so all these different countries have different goals and aspirations, but there's the common theme of they're small islands but large ocean countries. And so they all have that need to have healthy oceans.
The irony of having to look back to the old ways in a time of great technology certainly isn't being lost on anyone who's attending the conference this week. But are there things that have, even over the couple of days that you've been meeting, emerged that you think we should think more about as we move toward the end of the year and the Congress meeting here, World Congress meeting here?
Sure. So there's all the past ills that we've put on the ocean, but there's all these new things coming online. Deep sea mining, which is technologically feasible and economically viable now. Large-scale industrial fisheries can have huge impacts in places that can directly affect the livelihoods, the well-being, and the culture of people in those places. So there's internal factors and there are external factors all pushing on the ocean, and people need to take more of a holistic view of how to move forward. So some of these things aren't even online yet. We don't know what is going to happen in the future. So it's always good to have a precautionary approach because we only have one planet, and it's easier to conserve stuff than to fix it after you've broken it.
Precautionary principle tends to fall on deaf ears sometimes. Is there a way that you think that, having said what we just heard you say, that, you know, there's only one planet, there's only one ocean system, that we might be able to buy into that precautionary principle a little bit better than perhaps we have in other areas of science?
I think so. I mean, Hawaii in particular, you know, we all interact with the ocean almost on a daily basis. So people, you know, see what's good and bad about the ocean, and we rely on it very heavily. And so I think we can be an inspiration for other places. But throughout, you know, most of the people at this conference are in the same boat or, you know, in the same
literally
body of water, right? And so we all, you know, we all rely on it. I think these people appreciate it. And so they're all really good spokespeople for people who may not have the same interaction or association with the ocean. It's, like I said at the very beginning, you know, as the ocean goes, we go. And so it's really incumbent upon us to take care of it if we want to be healthy society, healthy planet.
On that note, we're going to leave it. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Dr. Alan Friedlander is the chief scientist of the National Geographic Pristine Seas Program, also the director of the Fisheries Ecology Research Lab at the UH. Over 30 years, he's focused on population regulation in marine ecosystems, most recently to help us understand what the ocean was like before heavy human impact.